We're so glad you've tuned into Family Talk as we head into a holiday weekend here in the U.S. I'm Ryan Dobson here with my dad, Dr. James Dobson, and Lou Ann Crane.
And Ryan, of course, we're all getting ready to observe Memorial Day on Monday. Just a wonderful opportunity for our entire nation to stop and recognize the fallen men and women of the armed forces. Doctor, these individuals who have fought so hard to preserve our freedoms.
Well, Lou Ann and Ryan, I've said it repeatedly, and so have you, but we absolutely love and appreciate our military and the sacrifices that they make and the sacrifices made by those who wait at home. It just puts a lump in my throat. And when we come to a day like Memorial Day, we want to hit it hard. We want to remind everybody of the price that's being paid for our freedom. And I love to hear from people who are in the military. Then they do contact us.
They do.
It's wonderful and uplifting to hear from them. We heard from a gentleman named Brian who wrote us on Facebook, and this is what he said. This is just a couple of weeks ago. He said, "I'm currently deployed in Southwest Asia with the Air Force, and I just wanted to let you know how encouraging it is to download your podcast each day. I've heard nearly every episode since you started in May 2010, and I'm thankful I can keep up with you from anywhere in the world. God bless Family Talk."
Aww,
Isn't that neat?
That's wonderful to hear.
Well, and it's a great reminder for our friends out there to hit like on our Facebook page and be sure to subscribe to our podcast. So if you miss anything, if you come in halfway, it'll be waiting for you at home. And Dad, I hope as a member of the Air Force, Brian is listening today because we want to praise him and commend the work that he's doing. And we're going to take a look at some of the unique freedoms and ideas that we're blessed with here in America, as well as address some of the attacks coming against these liberties.
Well, we're going to hear from someone today who articulates those liberties as well as anybody in the country, and he has become a good friend. And I heard him speak at an event I attended at the University of Denver last year, and it was a very exciting event, and there were a number of speakers there. But I was especially impressed by what Dennis had to say.
I remember that well, Doctor. You came away pretty pumped up from that evening. Many listeners are familiar with this gentleman because of his very popular radio program called The Dennis Prager Show. Doctor, he is a man who is incredibly accomplished and, as you said, someone you respect highly.
I do respect him highly, and I listen to him often on the radio. Dennis is Jewish, so obviously we disagree on theology. But he has expressed a deep respect for Christianity. And when it comes to many of the ways he views issues of morality and public policy, he is spot on. Now, very quickly, a little more about Dennis. Since 1992, he's been teaching the Talmud verse by verse at the University of Judaism. He's written or co-written four books, and he's been honored in a number of ways, including being appointed by Ronald Reagan to serve on a U.S. delegation. And from time to time, he even conducts orchestras in Southern California.
He sounds like a true Renaissance man to me, Dad. Let's listen now as Dennis Prager addresses the thousands attending the event at the University of Denver.
And just this quick note, Ryan, that early on, we'll hear Dennis refer back to the events which were occurring in the state of California about a year ago when they were calling on boycotts of Arizona because of that state's immigration laws.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I love you too. I do. I thank you. There is a blessing that I believe that has taken place in the United States in this recent past, and the blessing, there is the silver lining, is, and those of you who hear me on the radio know how much I value this, clarity. I actually believe for the first time in my 28 years of broadcasting that more Americans understand the difference between American values and leftist values than ever before in my lifetime. This is a major moment in American history. if without clarity, we have no chance at redeeming our country. It is in trouble. You know it is in trouble. It is part of the reason you are here this evening. Let me make something clear at the outset. I know even some of you will differ with me. As you know, I never impute bad motives to people I differ with. There are many decent, fine Americans on the left, and for that matter, there are many jerks on the right. All right? You probably know both types in your own extended families. So I want to make this clear that what I am about to say is not about personalities, it is about ideas. The American idea and the left-wing idea are in a civil war. It is finally becoming clear that there is this, hopefully, God willing, always a nonviolent civil war, though I will say this. Those cities that have called for economic strangulation of Arizona have declared war in the United States of America. And I ask you not to visit California, where I live, and will be hurt if you do not visit. The major cities of my state have declared war on Arizona. You must declare war on those cities in California. Do not visit. Do not visit where I live. This is unprecedented in American history that you don't like a law that another state passes. We didn't like when Berkeley forbade a Marine recruiting station to operate, but no conservative said boycott the city of Berkeley. We know they are fellow Americans, and we don't want to strangulate those we differ with. But the left wants to strangulate those they differ with, and we are all Arizonans as of this moment. By the way, I don't even care if you're for or against the law. That's a separate issue entirely. I have taken no position on the law. I don't know how it will turn out. I don't know. It doesn't matter. Arizona has a right to deal with what the federal government has not dealt with. That's what I do know. Now, clarity, the clarity I want to make, this is what I want to share with you, is that what this, the nature of this clear civil war in America, of American values and left-wing values. Let me begin, though, by telling you how upside down, I'll give you two examples of how upside down the world in which we live as a result of our fellow decent Americans on the left. For example, they claim, and I mean they, from the New York Times columnists to Chris Matthews to politicians, they claim never to know the motives of people who shout Allahu Akbar while they murder Americans. They do, they claim. How do we know? We don't know. It might have been, it was a bad day. Others said this man, Shahzad, his house was in foreclosure. Did you hear about that? Everybody knows that foreclosure leads to mass murder. I mean, it's just like, it's a common understanding. But no, who are we to say? The Attorney General, did you hear the Attorney General of the United States say, what does radical Islam mean? He did not understand the term, but you know whose motives they're certain of? Tea partiers. And what are those motives? Racism. Because for the left, there can never possibly be an idealistic conservative. To do anything conservative is to be either racist or sexist or homophobic or Islamophobic or xenophobic or bigoted or intolerant. That is their repertoire of ideas. That is why it is so easy to debate people on the left. It is effortless, because once they, if you ask your relatives on the left, never, please, and you know my view, let's just go for clarity, not agreement, so we don't fight. But if you abstain from using any of those seven words, from racist, homophobic, xenophobic, Islamophobic, bigoted, intolerant, etc., they are bereft of vocabulary. There is no, I'm not kidding, there's nothing left. The idea that Tea Party opposition to large government is animated by racism, it's a non sequitur. What could that one possibly have to do with another? I will have more about that later. That's one inversion. Let me give you the second example of the inverted left-wing understanding of America. They see Arizona as the enemy, but they believe that we need to speak to and understand Iran. There is a great Talmudic statement. The Talmud is the second holiest work of Judaism after the Bible. There's a great Talmudic statement that is 2,000 years old. Those who are kind to the cruel will be cruel to the kind. And that is what happens. When you show compassion to Ahmadinejad, you will be mean to Arizona. That's exactly what has happened in the United States of America. Now let me explain the notion of the Civil War and the American values at war and being attacked by the left. I have spent a lifetime trying to figure out a way to explain American values, this unique value system that America has. 15 years ago, it occurred to me, after a lifetime of effort emptying my pockets at night, I looked at a coin, and the answer had been facing me my whole life. It is on every coin, what I call the American Trinity. E pluribus unum, in God we trust, liberty. No other country in the world has those three values on its coinage or anywhere else. That is, and you must memorize it, and you must teach it. That is the American Trinity, and it has nothing to do with the Christian Trinity as such, so everybody can use the term. Just like I believe everybody should have, America should adopt the July 4th Seder. What Jews have had for Passover, remembering for 3,000 years the Exodus, we need to do every July 4th. A serious sit-down meal, music, and observance of 1776. We need a July 4th Seder. So, you don't have to be Jewish to have a July 4th Seder, and you don't have to be Christian to believe in the American Trinity. That is my point. This is our unique American value system. Let me explain it and show you how they are being warred against. First, e pluribus unum, the notion out of many, one. This is unique to America, which in fact, despite all the calumnies against it, is overwhelmingly the least racist country ever developed in human history. There is no country in the world that is as accepting as a total fellow American people of other ethnicities and other races. In Germany, and this is not to say anything against Germany, Germany is typical of France, of Belgium, of Holland, of Norway, of the ideals of the left, those countries. Third generation Turkish German is still considered a Turk in Germany. A Turk who becomes an American is considered an American that day. That is the way it works in the United States of America. We don't care where you came from. We care where you are going and whether you are sharing with us the American value system. That is why, now listen, the left does not understand this. The left, after all, teaches all your kids at this university and every other, teaches all your kids to understand the world by race, gender, and class. They have the opposite view. It's called multiculturalism. They have the opposite. They want to create little sectors of American identity. You're Mexican American, you are African American, you name it, anything. Now, no one has any problem with everyone celebrating whatever cultural background they're from. No one has a problem with Armenian Americans sending their kids to Armenian schools or Jews sending their kids to Jewish schools. It's a non-issue. But we are all Americans. That is the American ideal. The left-wing ideal is that we are all bifurcated into little groups. That is why this was priceless. I think it was CNN, but I'm not certain because I don't want, if the issue is not to pick on CNN, but one mainstream TV reporter saw an African American at a tea party. I played this on my show, many other hosts did. And she asked him, and I'm paraphrasing, you're African American, how do you feel here? And he answered her, his answer was more priceless than anything I could ever do to repeat it. He somewhat chuckled and he said, I feel great. These are my fellow Americans. Now, what the punchline is, she did not understand him. That a black American would say of white Americans, the especially conservatives, these are my fellow Americans, I am 100% part of them, made no sense to our liberal television reporter, because she believes in multiculturalism. We do not have that belief. We have the belief that you are American and whatever else you wish to identify with is a separate issue entirely, but there is no reason on earth why any black American should feel odd man out at a tea party. Not any reason in the world. The second of the values, it's e pluribus unum, liberty in God we trust. The second, liberty, is made war on by the left and always has been, because the left has a greater value than liberty, and that is equality. Not equality of birth, that is in the Constitution and in the Bible, but equality of result. And so liberty is always sacrificed on the left to equality. That is why so many Hollywood types visit Cuba. Now, Cuba is one large prison, but the nice thing about Cuba is everybody's a prisoner, so they're all equal. And that is why Hollywood types go to Cuba, because they prefer equality to liberty. Liberty doesn't mean anything to the left except sexual liberty. That's a big one. But beyond that, no. Equality is everything. I'll give you a classic example again with Cuba. How is it possible that the United Nations ranks Cuba and the United States as tied in healthcare? Tied. U.S. is 37th, Cuba 39th. Essentially tied. How is that possible? Does anybody go to Cuba if they have a heart problem? Do you ever have a foreign leader say, you know, I'm going to Havana. I know, you know, Cleveland has this heart clinic, but I'm headed to Havana. Why doesn't that happen? Everybody knows Cuba doesn't have better health care than America. It's ridiculous. It's absurd. But it's bad for everybody equally. If it stinks for everybody, it's better than America. That is how the left-wing mind thinks, because it values equality more than it values liberty. And that is in Norway. Norway, they said, you do not have the right to choose who the boards of directors are, members of your boards of directors of companies. 50% must be women. That's equality over liberty. That is the second war of the left against Americanism. The third is in God we trust. This country was not founded to be a secular country. And perhaps I have more credibility because I'm not Christian, I'm Jewish, and announcing this. This was founded to be a God-based country. That is what it was founded to be. It was founded as a Bible-based country. That is why the belief is in liberty that God is the source of rights. And I have a question to all your secular kids who go to this or any university, who have been thoroughly secularized by the secular seminary, which is the university. I have one question. If God is not the grantor of human rights, who or what is? DNA? Obama, that's right. Good answer. No, that's, by the way, that is exactly what they believe. Government will grant you your rights. That is exactly right. That's a very frightening belief, because government can take them away, but God will never take them away. God is the author of human rights, or there are no absolute human rights. That is a simple thing. An atheist can acknowledge that. That is why there is one statement on the Liberty Bell, one. And I am proud as a Jew to say, and grateful as a Jew to say, it's from the Torah. It's from the book of Leviticus, the first five books of the Bible. Only one statement was inscribed on the Liberty Bell. You shall proclaim liberty throughout the land to all its inhabitants, from the book of Leviticus, chapter 25. That is what they decided, because they knew without God there's no liberty, and that is exactly accurate. Secular ideologies, as I'm writing at my column for next week, the post-Christian West has not produced all that much good. You know, every one of your kids has learned at the college he or she attends, religion has killed more people than any other doctrine in history. They learn that as a mantra. How come we are saddled, all of us who are religious are saddled with excesses of the Crusades or an Inquisition in Spain, but they're not saddled with communism and Nazism? How come? That was produced by secular ideologies. This country was founded to be God-centered, and there is a war against that. I led a fight unsuccessfully to keep the tiny, tiny cross on the Los Angeles County seal. I testified with 1,000 people at the Board of Supervisors of Los Angeles County. And you know what I said to them? I said, it's not even a religious question. How could you remove the symbol of those who founded Los Angeles? If the city were named Los Secularistos, I would understand what you were doing. When you take the cross from my county seal, you are erasing my, this Jew's history. Christians founded this county. How can you erase that history? And that is what they are doing. They are erasing history. This is a seminal battle for the soul of America, folks, but I want to make it clear to everyone in America what the battle is about. Then you choose which side. You think we will do better by erasing the Judeo-Christian bases of this country? When Davenport, Iowa's Civil Rights Commission could announce 2 months ago that it advised the city of Heartland America, Davenport, Iowa, to substitute the name Spring Holiday for Good Friday? Isn't that, I mean, it's ludicrous. For the left to be so hyper in concern about not offending radical Muslims, but it is okay to put a crucifix in urine, please understand how inverted the world is and the battle that we are fighting. Because of time, I will leave you with what has become a signature statement of mine that I told to all the members of Congress who were Republican when I spoke to them a few months ago. Please remember what the battle is about. The bigger the government, the smaller the citizen. As governments get bigger, people get smaller. The American ideal was the bigger the citizen, the smaller the government. We will take care of ourselves. We will take care of our families. We will take care of our neighbors. In Europe, and the left-wing ideal is that the state takes care of you, the state takes care of your family, the state takes care of your neighbors. This is what the battle is about. And which do you think produces a better human being? Those who take care of themselves and their families and their neighbors, or those who want the state to do so? It is a battle worth fighting. That's why we're here tonight, and thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you very much.
What a moment there for Dennis Prager, speaking before several thousand at an event at the University of Denver. Dr. Dobson, you were there. You can just hear the electricity from that crowd.
Luann, I was sitting on the front row, and he set me on fire. I'll tell you, I loved what he had to say.
I think I heard you cheering there.
And so did everybody else. There was just a buzz from what Dennis Prager had to say to us about what some people call the nanny state, where government has the responsibility to take care of everybody. And that doesn't work. And I pray a day will come when we won't need it, because we will be more supportive of one another, which is really the way it should be.
Well, we very much appreciated that rallying cry from Dennis Prager today. I'm glad we could bring it to listeners. As we head into Memorial Day weekend, Doctor, it's just another reminder of our American values and liberties that the men and women in the military are defending every single day. I'd encourage listeners to find out more about Dennis Prager, even read some of his brilliant articles at myfamilytalk.com. www.thebeatles.com.
And while you're there, click on the button to subscribe to our podcast. And how about you like our Facebook page? Because you never know. Maybe you'll be the next person that we read your post on
just
our broadcast.
Absolutely. Also there at myfamilytalk.com, check out the donate tab. Family Talk is a listener-supported ministry, and we rely heavily on your partnership.
Luann, it's very important to say that, to remind people, because in the last 2 or 3 weeks, our contributed support has kind of trailed off, and it's an everyday thing. Mm-hmm. So if people can help us, we would certainly appreciate it.
Again, that's at myfamilytalk.com, or give us a call, 877-732-6825, 877-732-6825.
Have a happy Memorial Day weekend, and we'll see you next time on Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson.